Just being sorry for our sins is not the kind of mourning that God wants. He wants us to be sorry to the point that we make the necessary changes in our lives. When a person has been convicted by the Holy Spirit, and when that conviction has done its work of breaking our hearts, we come to the place where we are willing to do whatever God wants us to do. The psalmist David prayed, "Oh, that I had the wings of a dove! I would fly away and be at rest. I would flee far away and stay in the desert. I would hurry to my place of shelter, far from the tempest and storm." Have you ever felt like that? I sure have. There are times when I wish the world would just stop long enough for me to get off. Sometimes it seems that I'm on a busy interstate highway exchange and there are no exit ramps. For the Christian, the problem becomes especially acute. We too get caught up in the busyness and the demands of life. For us, life is often like that runaway freight train, and we wonder if it will ever slow down. Then we look around us and see so many hurting and suffering people that need our help, that need a tender touch. But we have enough problems and broken hearts of our own to spend much time helping anyone else. After all, we want to find an escape from the pain just like they do. In our world today, we have adopted the idea that pleasure brings happiness. Money brings happiness. Fame brings happiness. So we set out to get all the pleasure, money, and fame we can lay our hands on. What is the result? Maybe we gain a good bit of all three, but we also quickly discover that they do not satisfy. And the inner pain from which we are trying to escape is just as real and hurts just as much as ever. But God has told us it would be this way. In fact, not one time in His Word has He said that we must experience good things in order to find happiness. Consider the second beatitude found in Matthew chapter 5, verse 4. "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." Once again, Jesus steps into the display window of life and begins to switch all the price tags. My friend, Jesus just doesn't measure things like we measure them. What you and I think is necessary for happiness is often the exact opposite of what He knows that we really need. In this case, He is saying the way to true happiness is through mourning. What a strange concept. The world says, smile, smile, smile. God says, mourn, mourn, mourn. What exactly is Jesus saying to us in this verse? Now remember, these Beatitudes are to be the attitudes of the kingdom citizen. They are characteristics that every true believer should exhibit in his walk with Christ. I have found that there are three types of mourning. The first that we will consider might be called improper mourning. Improper mourning is any grief or mourning that results from misplaced affections. Let me share with you a couple of examples. In 2 Samuel chapter 13, we read the story of Amnon, a son of David. As we read this chapter, we discover that he had an unhealthy, perverted love for his half-sister Tamar. In verse 2 of that chapter, we read these words, "Amnon became frustrated to the point of illness on account of his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin, and it seemed impossible for him to do anything to her." Can you see the mourning, the sadness, and the pouting in this man? Of all things, his grief and sadness was a result of not being able to carry out his incestuous lust towards his virgin sister. If you do read on in this chapter, you will discover that he ultimately did let his ungodly mourning lead him to the point that he physically raped his sister to satisfy his fleshly lust. Needless to say, his was a case of improper mourning. Another example of improper mourning can be found in 2 Samuel chapter 19. In this chapter, we read of King David's grief at the death of his son, Absalom. You might ask, what is wrong with David mourning for his dead son? That seems perfectly normal to me. And indeed it is. God is not saying that it was wrong for David to mourn. I believe the error can be found in the degree to which David mourned and perhaps the reason for which he was mourning. If you know the story, you will remember that Absalom was a wicked son who rebelled against God and against his father. When he died, it was the salvation of Israel. Yet all David could see was that his son was dead. I think David's grief and mourning was somewhat motivated by guilt and selfishness, so much so that Joab said to the king, "Today you have humiliated all your men, who have just saved your life and the lives of your sons and daughters and the lives of your wives and concubines. You love those who hate you, and you hate those who love you. You have made it clear today that the commanders and their men mean nothing to you." David's mourning for Absalom was another example of improper mourning. What then is proper mourning? Proper mourning is the natural grief and sadness one feels as a result of tragedy. It is not a sadness that is a result of not getting our own way or of not being able to satisfy our fleshly lusts. It's certainly not the unhappiness and sorrow that we bring on ourselves as a result of our own sin and failure. It is the natural emotional struggle that comes as we deal with the traumas and difficulties of life. There are many examples of proper mourning to be found in the Bible. Let me mention just a few. In Genesis chapter 23, we read of the death of Sarah, Abraham's wife. The grief that this man of God experienced was very natural and proper. Abraham and Sarah had been married for many years, and now she was gone. Just like people today, Abraham had to work through the pain that he was experiencing now that his wife was dead. Friend, it would be good for us to mention right here that it takes time to work through grief and sorrow. It cannot happen in a week or a month. Sometimes it takes at least 1 year to even begin to deal with the loss of a person that was close to us. Perhaps someone listening to this broadcast right now is experiencing the very emptiness and pain of which I'm speaking. It seems to you as though your entire world has come crashing in, that God is unfeeling and uncaring. Maybe you are even angry at Him for allowing your loved one to die. It's okay to feel those emotions. Hurt, pain, frustration, and even anger are all natural emotions that come as a result of mourning. And each of those emotions must be felt and worked through for there to be real healing of the emotional scars brought on by the death of someone close. You are not a bad person for having those feelings, but you must work through them and not allow them to make you hard and bitter for the rest of your life. This kind of mourning is proper and should be expected. Another example of proper mourning is the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet because of his continual grief over the sin of Israel. Listen to the words of Jeremiah found in chapter 9 and verse 1. "Oh, that my head were a spring of water and my eyes a fountain of tears. I would weep day and night for the slain of my people." We could give so many examples of mourning that is proper and pleasing unto the Lord. Jesus himself mourned when he wept for his friend Lazarus, and then later for the city of Jerusalem. But there is a third type of mourning that we must mention before closing today. I believe it is the type of mourning Matthew 5:4 is referring to. We might call this godly mourning. Godly mourning is a sorrow that leads to repentance, which is a change of heart, mind, and life in regards to sin. The Apostle Paul speaks of this type of mourning in 2 Corinthians 7:10 and 11. Listen carefully to these words. "Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. See what this godly sorrow has produced in you? What earnestness, what eagerness to clear yourselves, what indignation, what alarm, what longing, what concern, what readiness to see justice done." Did you see the difference? Just being sorry for our sins is not the kind of mourning that God wants. He wants us to be sorry to the point that we make the necessary changes in our lives. When a person has been convicted by the Holy Spirit, and when that conviction has done its work of breaking our hearts, we come to the place where we are willing to do whatever God wants us to do. Now, my friend, that's the kind of mourning of which Jesus is speaking. There are 9 words in the Greek language, which is the New Testament language, describing sadness and mourning. The word used here is the strongest one of all. Jesus is saying that the person who is poor in spirit will come to the place of deep sorrow, anguish, and mourning over their poverty and destitution, and this sorrow will ultimately lead them to repentance and life. Truly, they shall be comforted. Have you ever come to the point in life where you were absolutely and totally devastated by your sin and spiritually bankrupt condition? You see, a person must first of all see how he is without Christ before he will ever make his way to Christ. If you will take an honest look at your life today and be willing to surrender yourself to Christ in faith, then you can go from being a pauper to being a prince. You will indeed find Jesus to be sufficient for your every need.